following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
.839/1360 97.5 WTAQ News Talk Sports. Last Jerry Bader Show of 2013. You have a, well, you don't have a potpourri or a buffet. You've got two fill-ins throughout the holiday season. I was going to say you got a variety of hosts. Actually, you have two. You have Seth Mila, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Chris Conley, Friday, Monday, Tuesday. And Jason is gone for most of that period as well. You're here Monday, and then you're gone the rest of next week. Are you back the 30th and 31st? You're not. Oh, no, Matt's back. That's right. You're gone. Matt's back. It's just everybody's gone. Let's just shut her down. Everybody's taking the holiday week off. You're back when you and I are gone the same time, except you're here Monday. Yeah. And then Matt's gone for a few days in there. It's just, it's going to be ghost down here, but we'll keep her running. We'll keep the lights on for you. With all due apologies to Tom Beaudet and Motel 6. Boy, they haven't done that in a while. That was a great campaign. That was an extremely effective campaign. I'll never understand that. Why, when there's an effective ad slogan or a campaign, companies feel compelled to change. Well, we've been doing that long enough. Why? Has it been making too much money for you? I hate when that happens. You know who's the worst for that? Who is the worst for changing their, what we in the business call positioning statement, when they have a good one because they feel they have to? There's a company that had numerous, very good, what's called positioning statements. You would, the slogan. We call them, pick a company, Jason, that has what they just can't leave well enough alone. Toyota. What's the one that was really good that you can think of? Well, then you're wrong. If you can't think of one, you would be wrong. You just throw a name out there. There are, there's a company who is constantly changing its, what I call its positioning statement. You would call it their slogan. I think someone has a guess on this. I think it's such an obvious one. And let me give you some examples of other ones. UPS. What can Brown do for you? That's that one they never should have changed from. UPS. That's not the one I'm thinking of. You can't think of this, huh? What was the guess over there? No. This is such an obvious one. It's now, but at least now you're in the right sector. You deserve a break today. We do it all for you. I'm loving it. McDonald's. I'm loving it is okay, but you deserve a break today. That puts it on the consumer. We do it all for you. They just, okay, well, that one's worked well enough. We need another one. I mean, if you see a necessity to change, that's one thing. By the way, we are now looking at a pretty significant snow event for Sunday. We just still don't know. Right now, still, it could be anywhere 3 to 6 inches in the Green Bay area. It is going to be snowing heavily, most likely, during the Packer game. It's one of the things I asked Mike McCarthy about. I also asked him, look, who's really making the decision about Aaron Rodgers? He answered. Mike was in a very festive mood today. He really was, off the air. He joked around more than he's ever joked before the interview. He loves Christmas. Yeah, he seemed in that festive holiday mood. I hope that means he thinks they're going to win. That's all I'm saying. Well, you know, I didn't have, because it's only a 5-minute interview, I didn't have time. Everybody remembers December 24th, 1995, right? Snow, kind of like, I don't think it was snowing that day as heavily as it's snowing out the window right now. But it was a snowy day. See, you know the ad, it's only weird if it doesn't work? I do need to start missing more fourth quarters of games, especially when they're behind, and listen on the radio. If you don't remember, December 24th, 1995, they played the Pittsburgh Steelers. They were both Super Bowl contenders. The Packers would make it to the NFC Championship game. The Steelers would make it to the Super Bowl and lose to the Dallas Cowboys. That wasn't last game of the season, I don't think. I don't think it was. In any event, it won them the NFC North. When Yancey Thigpen dropped, I remember the editorial cartoon where the hand of God comes and tips it out. That's what it was like. I wouldn't know that until watching Prime Time with Chris Berman on Sunday night, because my parents were living in Coleman then. I can tell you exactly where I was. My wife can tell you too, because I almost drove off the Frigo Bridge. That's where I heard that. In our 1994 Saturn. I remember, I believe, ooh, I got to be careful here. I think it was still, I believe it was Jim Irwin, Larry McCarron, and Max McGee. I believe that was still Jim. It went just like this. O'Donnell back to pass. Oh, Yancey Thigpen wide open touch. He dropped it! I just like that. And because when he said touchdown, this is how much I was into it. And I'll admit this now because it's been so long ago. I put my head down on the steering wheel. And my wife was like, watch where you're going! And then, okay, if that's not bad enough, then he goes, he dropped it. And I literally almost drove off the Frigo Bridge. That's exactly where we were. We lived in Sheboygan, so going from Coleman, we take the bridge down 43. And rightfully so. I heard about it for the rest. Oh, rightfully so. You willing to kill your family? I mean, my kids were, my younger daughter was, well, I'll give you a hint. My younger daughter was born in October of 1995. This is December 1995. They're in the back seat. So what's the matter with you? Well, you know, that was a hell of a question, actually. Then, I mean, it's funny, though, because I saw it on replays, and it feels like I saw it live. And I didn't. I heard it described on the radio. Jason's still marveling at the fact that I almost killed my family. Well, see, it's like texting. Listen to the Packers carefully on the radio. Anyway, but there's another big game where I had to listen on the radio. I don't remember why we had to get back, but we did. Or maybe we were just trying to beat the weather. It was snowing. I don't know. I don't recall that. Last week, I had to go to a concert. The then infant in the back seat, now a senior in high school. Those things have changed. I haven't. Funny how that works out. So I didn't get a chance to talk about that with the coach, but that was the game where the Packers really returned to the top, even though they wouldn't win the Super Bowl that year. Then that playoff win that season in San Francisco really let the NFL know they were going to be a force to be reckoned with. And that really was it. Obviously, with the injury, I mean, that's not what we're talking about now. I have no idea how I'm going to pick this game. I really don't. Leaning Packers, fortunately, I have until 11 o'clock to do that. I'm struggling. I am really struggling with this. So, want to mention one other thing. I want to get to two things in this segment. I had promoted that Reed Ribble was going to be on today. Reed's not going to be on today. No, he is not dodging. He He wouldn't have said yes if he didn't want to be on. What happened is Reed and I do communicate directly. However, when it comes to scheduling things, we can't do that. We can't do that. Because he said, okay, he forgot to tell his office. His office scheduled something else. He is going to be on after the first of the year when I get back. Perhaps in studio. If it is in studio, I'm going to ask him if he wants to take calls. And I would encourage him to take calls. So he's not running from anything. It's just, it truly is. I just need to follow up with his office. A listener writes, pick the Steelers just so the Packers win. You, Chris, you need to check my record a little more closely. You really do. My record is actually pretty good in picking the Packers. It has been extremely difficult in the absence of Aaron Rodgers because they are so unpredictable. Like most of the free world, I didn't have faith in Matt Flynn. Oh, by the way, I asked him about that. I asked him about not going to Tolzien at the half. Interesting answer, too. One of Mike's better interviews, or one of my better interviews with Mike at 9:10. Be sure to be here for that. All right. This is a big deal, though I've got different versions of this story. As you know, recertification votes were taken for public unions all over the state, and they didn't want to take these votes. The way it works under Act 10, they have to get 51% of their membership, not voting membership, 51% of their entire membership to be recertified. The MacGyver News Service edition of the version of this story from yesterday. Workers rejected more than 70 of 408 school district unions during annual recertification elections that ended yesterday, according to a preliminary analysis of the results. The elections went from November 29th until noon yesterday and involved 408 collective bargaining units from around the state associated with schools. Workers cast their votes using a telephone voting system. AFSCME Local 60, Council 40, including support staff in the Sun Prairie School District, was the largest union to be decertified. Only 135 of the 367 members voted. Let's see. Substitute teachers of the Milwaukee Teachers Union Education Association also decertified. There were 19 actual teachers unions that decertified. The largest included New Berlin, Menominee Falls, Pewaukee, Berlin, and Waterford. Teachers in Milwaukee Public Schools will keep their union certified with 73% voting yes. Green Bay had a 77% of teachers voting to keep their union. Racine had just 60%. Other large teachers unions that will maintain certification include Appleton, Waukesha, Eau Claire, Oshkosh, Janesville, Sheboygan, West Allis, La Crosse, Wauwatosa, Beloit, and Stevens Point. Again, this happens under Act 10. They can only bargain for wage hikes with the margin of inflation and a majority of each union's membership, not voting membership, must also vote to maintain its certification. The unions will likely argue that, well, that's not really very many, you know, when taken in total. Brian Fraley, writing at Right Wisconsin, puts it this way. Big labor's big lie exposed. For years, public employee labor union bosses repeated the lie so often, perhaps even they began to believe it. Sounded like this. We represent 40,000 state employees, or we speak for 800 teachers and other professionals, or blah, blah, blah. Sure, they had the membership numbers, they boasted, but only through conscription. They sponged off their members, but they didn't truly represent their members. Want proof? Now that public employee union members have a choice, they're leaving their unions in droves. The voting with their feet continued in recent weeks at the annual recertification. Under the wonderful Act 10, public employee unions are required to file for... Okay, so anyway, you know all of that. Workers rejected over 70 of 408 school district unions during annual recertification. Prior to Act 10, the unions could get away with repeating the representation lie. Now their duplicity is on display for the world to see. Before Governor Walker, these public sector employees were required to be a member of a union and forced to pay union dues. Empowered by Scott Walker's reforms, these workers were finally given a voice, and the big labor bosses don't like what they're hearing. When you look at the percentages, you can argue that conservatives maybe are crowing over a relatively small number. I don't think so. Let's see what happens in subsequent years. But the reality is, 70 unions did not want to recertify or could not get the votes to recertify. That is a telling number. It says a lot about how many people actually, as Brian put it, were there due to conscription. All right, as I said, right after 9:10, we'll have my interview with Coach Mike McCarthy. He's got several interesting things, including how they prepare. He's glad it's doing that outside right now because he's making them practice in that to be prepared for Sunday. It's a good call on his part. We'll get to that. I have touched on something only briefly that we're going to spend a lot more time on, and I will confess one of the reasons I didn't spend a lot of time on it is I don't watch the show. And this would be the Phil Robertson A&E Duck Dynasty controversy. I found a very interesting piece. It's written by another talk show host, probably not a guy you've ever heard of, but it's very, very good. I want to share that, and I do want to take calls on that. This, of course, as I said, is the last Jerry Bader show of 2013, so we'll try to get to a lot of stuff. You have any special bumper music over there, or just the same old Christmas music? Nothing big for the last... You got some stuff? All right. Jason's back on the saddle after a little under the weather yesterday. Well. Oh, we've got probably the toughest What Is Right and What Is Wrong ever, too. It is that time of year. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. 8:56.